Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Right, let's talk trade now. Tanzania has threatened to block South African agricultural imports, creating the potential to disrupt trade and negatively impact South African farmers. These include exporters who rely on Tanzanian markets for their produce. Now, this is also highlighting the need to empower local farmers with better access, with further consideration that the agricultural sector is also facing challenges like climate change, drought, and poor infrastructure. Dr. Sifiso Ntombela joins me now. He's an agricultural economist. He has a strong background in business development, international trade, economic policy, and governance. A very good evening to you, Dr. Ntombela.
A very good evening to you, Sumatra, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much for your time this evening. Maybe let's just start with unpacking unpacking the situation. How did we actually get here?
Maybe before I can directly answer that question, if you do allow, allow me to quote, or maybe to just remind the listener some of the words that were said by our President Ramaphosa, I think 2 years back when he was having a bilateral engagement with his counterpart, the late president from Namibia, where he reminded some of the African leaders that in actual fact, South Africa is one of the youngest democracy in Africa. And to them, they're not necessarily a big brother in Africa. But they also look up into the cooperation and experience of those that have gained democracy much earlier than what South Africa have done. And I think he was saying these words in the context of at times some of these trade conflicts between the African countries emanated from the approach or the sentiment that South Africa tends to play a big brother role in Africa, which is not always the case. Now, and I'm saying this because for over the last 8 years, if you look at Namibia, Botswana, have been really being at loggerheads with South Africa, particularly on agricultural commodities, where they've closed their borders and they've basically limited the imports coming from Africa. And we're now seeing this tend to be now moving towards up north of the continent, with Tanzania being the latest one, where it's threatening to close its borders for the importation that are coming from South Africa. And this should be seen because South Africa is one of the most open trade country in the African continent that promote open trade, that promote corporations and other things. And it also have one of the most well-aligned in terms of the WTO, in terms of the compliance of the market standards, both in terms of tariffs as well as the non-tariff, like the sanitary and phytosanitary. And in this case, I think it emanates from that problem between South Africa and Tanzania, where South Africa has really stick with some of the commitment that it made, which basically is common across all countries, where it says that any commodity that comes into our shores should comply with our market standards so that we ensure that the product that comes in is safe, it doesn't introduce new pest, and it ensures that the productivity and the viability of the sector is maintained. And biosecurity is one of the key priorities. Everybody might have seen and heard, both the current minister, Minister Stenezen, and the previous ministers, that a priority of South Africa is to ensure that biosecurity is controlled and managed at all costs.
So this was an issue. I mean, South Africa is upholding its standards, but it's also refusing to take anything from take certain products from Tanzania, and this is what has actually spurred the spat between the two countries, because Tanzania is now saying that if you're not going to take our stuff, then we're not going to take any of your stuff.
And I think, Sumitra, we need to correct that to say it's not as if South Africa is saying to its counterpart. I mean, South Africa is a signatory of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement. It's one of the first countries that actually endorsed that. So it would be very ironic for South Africa to then say it promotes intra-trade within Africa. Then it comes back and then limits certain product from its counterpart in Africa. But specifically with Tanzania as well, South Africa also have a free trade agreement within the SADC community with Tanzania, which is part of the member of the SADC community. So it's not to say South Africa is limiting any product, but what South Africa says, just like what it does itself, also our farmers when they go to international markets, whether it's in Africa, Europe or Asia, is that you must be able to comply with the market standard that they put in that country so that you are able to compete fairly with also the domestic producers. So all what South Africa has done in this case is to basically say the market is open, and but you have to comply with the market standard, just like the domestic farmers in South Africa has to comply with equal standards. So I think it's one of the issues that we need to really emphasize on the board. It is not to say that we are limiting, but we are applying the market standard. And this is in the interest of the country and in the interest of the consumer as well. And I think that's one of the areas that our trading partners within the continent must be able to accept and be able to live up into it. I think what remains a challenge is to then say, given that South Africa is one of those countries in the continent that is privileged to have a relatively industrialized agricultural sector, how does it help the countries within SACU and SADC also with the technologies and the productivity advancement to ensure that also agriculture in the other countries are advanced to the level that South Africa can be so that there will be a fair competition among themselves? And I think some of the programs that are run both by the private sector as well as the government, I mean, from the government side, I can mention the agricultural research councils, which partners with the governments within the SADC and even the entire continent to then say, how do we share some of the technologies and instruments to ensure that we comply with global market standards, including those of South Africa? Mm-hmm. We've seen of lately some of the privately driven initiatives. I could mention one of it, which was in the agricultural sector in KZN. And I'm mentioning KZN in this case because KZN and Limpopo, it's one of the biggest producers of banana, which is probably one of the initial products that have caused this conflict between South Africa and Tanzania, which is the banana importation. And where the metropolitan collective shapers, they basically train some of the farmers on issues of market compliance so that you can gain access to export market, on issues of ensuring that you keep records, but also understanding that you produce with the intention of the market that you're going to supply so that you can able to have access into that market. And I think some of these programs are part and parcel of the programs that are assisting the small-scale farmers both in South Africa, and we do hope that these can be even elevated into the regional level so that countries like Tanzania and the farmers in those countries can benefit into some of these skills that are being transferred into farms.
Well, there's definitely an opportunity here for farmers, and it's also an opportunity for South Africa to maybe assist a country like Tanzania to, in order to meet those standards. For instance, you know, we've seen with our citrus exports going to Europe, and we had the whole spat around the phytosanitary standards. Europe brought up those, insisted on South Africa improving on refrigeration, longer periods of cold containment before the fruit actually access that. It does require huge amounts of investments. What exactly is the issue with Tanzania unable to? What are the standards? Do we know on which products, agricultural products, they are having an issue with?
And I'm happy you're raising also the issue of Europe so that we can see that these challenges that tends to happen around especially the scientific compliance on phytosanitary and sanitary issues or measures, as well as technical barriers to trade, which usually align with sustainability of the agricultural sector, is that they are not only just unique to Africa, but they are also common within the European countries, within the American countries. You will recall at some time South Africa has similar issues with Brazil of the importation of poultry, as in even with the US, some of the imports that are coming into the country of the substandards compared with what we have in the country. And as you rightfully said at the beginning, that there is an opportunity behind looking at it as perhaps maybe a trade dispute, is to then say agriculture is one of the most critical sectors in any country, particularly in the developing and the low developing countries, that tends to absorb youth as well as the unemployed and low skilled countries. So it tends to happen that it attracts also a lot of pressure both from the political and other leaders of the country, because it's seen as a sector that tends to absorb and help with development. And while it's assisting in dealing with issues of unemployment for youth and other areas, but it must be seen also as a sector that is a stepping stone for development of the entire country. And in specific within the African countries, what you commonly see is that we produce more or less the same commodities. We'll then be able to, for example, now to have challenges where certain commodities arrive at a certain time with the market. As I said earlier on, when you're looking at the experience of Namibia and Botswana, it was on the vegetables, because the vegetables from those countries were coming more or less at the same time with the vegetables from South Africa. And now when you're looking at Tanzania, for example, in terms of the trade flows, we export a lot of processed food product, as well as some of the grains like rice and wheat. While they tend to export fruit products like banana, as I said earlier, they also export some tea as well as coffee and tobacco. So you can see that these are the similar commodities that South Africa also have a comparative and competitive edge amongst those countries. Now, instead of looking at it in the African continent as a competitor amongst each other, the question will then be, or the opportunity will then be, how to ensure, given the fact that our climate at times tend to share the seasonality and our soils and our environment tend to yield into same commodities, how do we ensure that we also benefit in some of the technological advancement from the South African farmers and institutions that have been able to demonstrate that for centuries? Because South Africa, we have institutions that have been in existence for more than centuries, but also share knowledge amongst each other so that we can produce beyond just the African market, but we can also export these commodities to the international markets like Europe, Asia, and other countries. And that boils down to the transfer of skills to ensure that we have these programs that will then be able to ensure that collectively we become the shapers of our agricultural sector and ensure that we build a common agricultural sector like they've done in Europe. If you're looking at the common agricultural policy of Europe, which basically is not only just looking at one country competing with another country in Europe, but it's looking at the continent as a whole, how it builds up on its common utilities, as well as the skill sets and the natural endowments that they have to drive growth and generate foreign earnings.
And going back to what you were talking about earlier, I mean, what does this say about the African continental free trade area? We are supposed to be, trading with our neighbors and from across and others from across the continent, proper regional trade here. When you have challenges like this coming up, I mean, surely this is something that you need to resolve, or will the ACFTA actually help to minimize these kind of issues?
Absolutely. In the long term, remember the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, which is AFCTA, is just one of the instruments that is operationalizing the Agenda 2063 of the African Union, which basically it's the ultimate journey of 2063. Now, with FCTA, African Continental Free Trade Agreement is the trade component part of it. And within that, it's also the free movement of persons across different states of the African continent. Now, with the free movement of commodities comes with the risk of introduction of some of the new pests and diseases that can affect the viability of the agricultural sector. So that's why it's very important each and every country, the issues of origin of product, as well as the safeguard measures to guard against the introduction of new pests in certain countries becomes important. I mean, for example, as we're saying that the original conflict within the two countries like Tanzania and South Africa was around the fruit importation that has been somehow replaced by some of the commodities within, by some of the countries within the SADC region, like Mozambique, for example, is now exporting a lot of bananas into South Africa. Zimbabwe has built up some of its capabilities on the tobacco, which have taken some share off from Tanzania, which used to be a biggest exporter of that product into African country. But with that, it then comes with the issue of then How do we ensure, while you're promoting intra-trade, but you safeguard your viability of the sector? Because once you have introduction of new pests and diseases, you are not able to export your product, because now that becomes a challenge in even going out into the international market. So all these then becomes the knowledge of a farmer to ensure that as much as the African Continental Free Trade Agreement is an opportunity to access a 1 billion market in Africa, but I've got to be able to ensure that my product comply with all the market standards of the African continent. I got to make sure that my product qualifies in terms of safety standard, in terms of the appearance of the product that the consumers in the African continent will want. And these things, especially if you're looking in Africa and relative to South Africa, as well as Egypt and Morocco, which have a relatively industrialized agricultural sector, requires a strong investment in consumer education, first of all, from the consumer side, but also in the production capabilities of farmers, particularly the small-scale farmers, which we tend to see is the case in the African continent. And that's why earlier on I said, then the private and public sector-led initiative like the Metropolitan Collective Shapers will then becomes a very critical instrument to ensure that we make our consumers be aware, we make our producers be aware that when I produce a banana, I must produce a banana that will meet the standard of South Africa, will meet the standard of Morocco, will meet the standard of Nigeria. And that's the only way we can be able to really realize the true opportunity and the true capabilities of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement.
It's a lot like, you know, do we have something for agriculture, like how we have the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. This works for the continent. Do we have something like that for agriculture? Should there be more synergy? Should there be more working together in terms of managing these different standards, making sure that you've got like your phytosanitary and eliminating pests and diseases that affect the agricultural industry throughout the continent?
I really like that question, because it really goes back into the commitment of the African states president when they signed the what we call the CADEP, which is the Comprehensive Agricultural Development Program of Africa. And within that program, which is called Malapo Declaration, it commits state governments across the African continent to commit at least 6% of public expenditure to agricultural institutions. Now, if you look at the biannual review of the CADEP program, you realize that most of the African countries have not even come close to that commitment. They are not spending as much investment as required. Even back here at home in South Africa, under the National Development Plan, we've committed to boost investment in the agricultural sector so that we are able to create institutions like the one you're talking about.
And when did we
in South Africa even?
And when did we sign this?
We have, because, for example, in South Africa, we have the Onderstepoort Biological Products, which is OPP, which is a state-owned institution that really deal with diseases on the animal side. We also have the Agricultural Research Council, which deals really with the research and development in the agri sector. We also have the Perishable Product Export Control Board, which deals with quality control across borders. Now, what tends to be happening, and there are some of those institutions like the African Consortium or on Agriculture. So there are these institutions, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that while they're there, they exist and they support these institutions, they have a correct mandate, the funding of them tends to be suboptimal, which really limits their effectiveness in empowering the countries to be able to cope and translate the information that is required to drive the agricultural development in the African continent. So that's why, as I mentioned earlier, that the Malapo Declaration goals have not been achieved, because the state governments around the African have not realized and lived up into the commitment that they've made themselves.
I'm sorry to have disturbed your train of thought a short time ago. I was trying to understand, I mean, when you talk about this Malapo Agreement, all countries made this commitment, and yet I wanted to understand how long ago they made that commitment, because that's really worrying that they aren't honouring that commitment.
Look, I think that it's a very old one. If my memory serves me well, I think the Malabo Declaration, it's more than 10 years or even 15 years, because it was part of even the NEPAD program. I cannot maybe recall in my mind right now specifically the year in which it was declared. But what we know, every second year, there's a biannual review that tends to come. And I'm referring to the one that came in just now in 2023, which really shows that majority of the countries in the African continent are really not living up into those standards. But and what was very important, that Malabo Declaration, which was really a precursor into the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, was also making a commitment that different states within the continent must then nationalize these declarations. And in South Africa, we were able to nationalize it through the National Development Plan. And as you recall, the National Development Plan is a 2012 program. And within that program, it was saying that there must be that investment in the agricultural sector. You must build the institution. You must develop it. But beyond that, you must...
So we seem to be losing the line.
Within the SACO and within the SADC. Yes.
Okay, we lost that short bit at the end, Dr. Ntumbela, but we're going to have to leave it there. What an interesting discussion, and definitely more to talk about in terms of where we at in the agricultural industry throughout the continent. Dr. Sifiso Ntumbela, agricultural economist, talking to us there about the impact of Tanzania's import threat on South Africa's agriculture.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.